A married couple from Surbiton have acquired a boat on the River Thames with the hope of turning it into a cafe and community space for people in the area to use for things like art workshops and music events. My name's Lucy Mayer and I've been speaking to Bri and Em from the Place to Be Society about how they're trying to turn their dream into a reality, with hopefully a little help from you.
Brian and I met and we both are very creative people. We love getting together with our friends and families, and we kind of like that, you know, call our village to hang out with and do things with our village. And I run a small business, M4 Macaron. I bake macarons for weddings and events, and so obviously I was always thinking at some point there's going to be a shop or a cafe, and then Brian mentioned something along those lines as well with Paper Garden Records, and we were like, oh, this is perfect, this is aligning. And then this is how the idea of the floating cafe and the music part of the cafe came together. Brian is crazy for boats, so when we started thinking of this, he was already like, it has to be on a boat, it has to be on the river. Yeah. And yeah, and then we came up with the concept. We did a lot of planning on trying to see what's going to work and what's going to be a good addition. And then we came across Richard, who owns the boat. And then we had discussions with him. We will be renting the boat for this business. And yeah, it feels like there's the momentum. Everything came together. We moved to Kingston from Ham just last year, and we started meeting people in Kingston, and we started talking about this, and it seemed like people were excited about the idea. So it kind of gave us the extra push, you know, that you kind of need when you're bringing your idea to reality and you're questioning yourself, like, oh, is this something that anyone is going to be interested in? You know, because that's the biggest part, I feel.
Yeah. To get it off the ground, there are challenges, aren't there? And I'm guessing it's a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely a lot of work.
I mean, just dealing with anything on the river in general is you're talking to at least four or five different authorities. So that was one of our first challenges, is let's talk with the, you know, permissioning part of Kingston Council and make sure we know any potential red tape there. And that first meeting, which was, what, 10 months ago or so, was exceptionally good already. So we know there's obviously going to be permissioning needed. We're working with Turks on that, but we had much more green lights than red tape. And then we started talking with the council and Kingston First about kind of what was already there, what the borough in general was wanting and needing. You know, from a business standpoint, we needed to make sure that all of it financially made enough sense, and there's enough traffic, and what do we do about the seasonality of being a boat in the winter. So all these things we came into place. Some were more kind of obvious to us, like the finding of the boat to begin with. That felt very serendipitous. We actually met Turks, Richard, at the Peggy Jean that you mentioned earlier. Yeah. As well. Found the boat that way. So getting ourselves kind of in preparation mode has taken the better part of a year at this point. But we, as Em mentioned earlier, knew that both of our businesses wanted to have a cafe involved in some way, shape, or form. And yeah, we managed to fill all the holes there and make sure that this is something that stuck true to the values as well as what we thought the community really really could benefit from.
So tell me about the boat, because this seems like it's very much community-led in a world where everything is very much money-driven. And, of course, you have to make money. You know, you have to make money to, excuse the pun, stay afloat.
Hey, we love boat puns. Keep them coming.
So how do you find that balance between really making it this community initiative that fulfills your dreams but also making money?
So we see this, as you mentioned, a community-driven place. It's a hub where people can get together, and not just to spend their time and money there, but to build connections, build build skills, confidence in things that they do. So we are all about bringing together the local makers and artists, provide them a space where they can run workshops, exhibitions if they have art to display, to be able to offer the space as something that can benefit everyone around us. And that obviously is, in our opinion, is a really good way of driving revenue and keeping us afloat. At the same time, it benefits everyone who would like to use the space because we are running, so they can come and use the space.
Yeah, and we always see it as this isn't so much of a clash as it might seem between the need to make money standpoint and providing a space for people standpoint. And you know, industry trends across everything that we're doing also showcase that, right? The hospitality industry in general is quite challenged, and people are kind of sick of going to the bigger corporate places, even for their standard coffees. They just don't want to go there. So between that and having a real focus on healthy lifestyles and well-being and kind of playfulness in general, those are all things that are trending upwards as well, and therefore driving revenue through the door as well. So that you know, the core of what we're about and what we're doing is yes, it's for community, but it also so happens to be the thing that from a financial standpoint is following suit with where the kind of future-proofing ourselves.
So what's next? What is the shape of the boat? And what do you need people to do? Because I understand you want people to get involved. You want people to help you get this off the ground.
Yeah. I think the bigger one right now is fundraising. That's what we're in a sprint for at the moment. So we have our vision. We have the location set, but this is a shell of a boat right now. I'm sure many listeners have walked by and just seen the emptiness inside, right? So it's going to take a lot of...
Explain to the listeners exactly where it is on the terrace.
Oh, yes. There are no floors. There are no floors in it, no windows. It's just an empty boat, a town and pier, which is at Queen's Promenade. I think it's the last boat that can be used commercially on that part of the river. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous location because if you look to the other side, it's greenery, and there is a little terrace on the other side of the boat. So sitting outside there when it's all done and open, it's just going to be one of the best spots you can sit at the sunset in the summer.
Yeah, and we love everything along the riverside as well, like you'd been talking about. But our favorite park is in Canterbury Gardens, where River Cultures Festival was as well. And then we love what's happening on Riverside Walk. We do music there on a weekly basis with them. Also, as part of River Cultures, that was the opening of the Eagle Brewery Wharf, which is now a gorgeous spot as well. So we see really the establishment of everything along the water being quite perfectly aligned with what they're doing. Even Queen's Promenade that Em mentioned, they've done that up really, really well now too. So the Turks Town and Pier there is kind of sandwiched between all that. I think it's somewhat obvious that it's overdue a bit of an upgrade. So that'll be, you know, driving people there, and not just a way that's just our cafe, but I think, you know, the beautification of the pier as a whole will become a bit more of a hub in time.
So how can people get involved, and what is this fundraising target?
Yeah, so our fundraising target is a large one. All in, we're looking at about 380K needed. That's to get us literally afloat, open the doors, and have a bit of contingency fund, have a bit of fun for us to be able to employ ourselves in small team. But the way people can get involved is we very much see this as a space that's not all about M and I, right? That's we're in the name, we're the B and the E of the place, but this is something that we anticipate being for very much for the people. So we want artists to be coming in and showcasing their art. We want to be working with the local farmers to be bringing in their produce for our foods. We want to be working with obviously local musicians on that side of things. things, but even from a construction standpoint as well. We can use volunteers, we can use local knowledge. The place fully equipped, like we're tapping into the Kingston University students as well for being able to work with whatever skill sets they have, and so they can see a future for themselves as well.
What's the dream opening date?
Yeah.
That would be next spring. That's our that's our plan, and that's what we would like to kind of get into the summer in a way that we are fully open and we are offering all that we are planning to offer, and we feel like the construction can be done over the winter, which is also kind of it's indoors, so there is going to be obviously some parts of construction that is going to be weather dependent, but maybe not all of it, and that the work can go ahead. We feel like the natural opening point would be next spring.
Lovely. So have you got a website that people can look at? And I'm guessing people are able to just drop by and say hello?
Website, yes. People can definitely drop by and say hello. They'll probably find us with these crazy colored captain's hats everywhere.
Yeah. We wear this all the time.
Yeah. The website is theplacetobesociety.com. We're all over the Instagrams as well, dropping by. We're not in construction mode yet, so not there every day. But Em and I are both in the neighborhood quite a bit. We're Surbiton locals. I've been doing this music series at Riverside Walk every Thursday as well. It's easy to spot us around town.